Morning. So what do you think? Do we change the clock or just figure I'll be ready to go in 6 months?
We're not supposed to do it anymore because DOC was kind of changed.
Yeah.
Next year.
Yeah. Kick the can down the road, yeah.
We're
so.
Not gonna be here next year.
Oh, all right. There you go.
There you go. She's got it right.
So, yeah. What time is it in heaven today, right? All right, so this morning we're going to be looking at Lesson 8. Faith is righteous in conflict. Okay, and James 3, 13 to 18 here in a minute. Any prayer requests before we get started? Michelle? I had a feeling it would got moved up. You're all ready to go. Let's just go, right? Okay.
I'll be your chauffeur.
Yeah, there you go.
I know
if you're going to be a stowaway, though, you're going to have to be under the seat, I think so. Okay. All right. Yeah, Mark.
Unspoken, I saw Barb last night, an old member of ours, so an unspoken for her, and an unspoken for Ellie and I.
Yes, sir.
I'll continue prayer for Margie and she recuperates from
her. I'm sorry, what was the last part? Right. Okay, I was going to mention that in the cousin in the morning because we miss a bunch then. So, okay. All right. When's your, is Jeff, is he already gone or when's he go?
Oh, no, he's leaving 5 a.m. tomorrow.
Oh. Trying to find a shortcut to Texas.
Well, yeah, he either is stopping in Missouri or Tulsa on the way down. I'm not sure.
Whereabouts in Texas are you going?
Middle of nowhere. Oh. The closest city is San Angelo, I think. So
yeah.
right smack in the middle.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. We think of Bob and Michelle and their family as they traveled to Florida Thursday night, Friday. Pray you give them journey mercies. And also for Jeff as he travels to Texas, give him a safe trip there and help him with his work while he's there. We ask that you might undertake for Jenny when she's got this cancer. Don't know how widespread it is yet. PET scan may give them some insight to that. We do pray that you'll protect her from having it spread too far into the lymph nodes and other areas of her body. Give the doctors wisdom as they work with her and try to figure out what they need to do, what the game plan would be. Also, pray that through this, both Jenny, husband, and children might be caused to look to you for health and strength, and that they might truly trust Christ alone for salvation. For the unspoken, for Barb and Allie and Mark, pray your will might be accomplished there in their lives. Help Margie as she continues to recoup and gain strength and mobility. Help her through these rehab sessions and just being able to move around a bit. Ease the pain. Ask that you guide us in our study now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I apologize for my voice to begin with. It may not get better as we go. So, okay, we're looking at James 3, 13 following. And depending on where you work or what you do, you may have found yourself, maybe it's even some class of some kind, talking about interpersonal relationships, conflict resolutions, that sort of thing. And I've not been through one of those, so I don't know exactly what they're liable to have told you in that regard. But we want to see that there's today that there's different kinds of wisdom, some of which we're probably better off not trying to apply to the situation. And then there's biblical wisdom. We're trying for a peaceful solution in this. It says one of the things that the Lord hates is, he mentions there in Proverbs 6:19, he that soweth discord among the brethren. So it's possible for us to throw gasoline on the fire rather than help it. He does give us a challenge too. And he says in Romans 12:18, if it's possible, okay, if it is possible, may not be, but if it's possible, as much as lieth within you, as much as you are concerned and your involvement in it, he says, live peaceably with all men. You find some people are just kind of at war with the world. It's not that they're picked out on you. They're kind of that treating everybody else that way too. It may not be possible, but as far as you're concerned, again, you aim for a peaceable solution. And we're going to find that is something that Scripture tells us. You know, sometimes Scripture tells us stuff that we don't want to hear. Love your enemies. That's a good one, isn't it? You know? No, I don't want to. Yeah, well, God said to, all right? And if we do it God's way, we're going to have a better outcome. Well, again, we're going to look at different types of wisdom here today. I guess I've not really thought of it in this way before, but they categorize it in three different, well, actually four, you know, with biblical, but categories of wisdom. We pick this up in James 3:13. It says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, or and that's not, it's more than just their speech, but a way of life. Show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitterness, envying, and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For you were envying and strife, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Okay, so we're zeroing in here on this first one and kind of labeling that as earthly wisdom. We see there in verse 15, it says it's wisdom doesn't descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Okay, this earthly has the idea of plants and that sort of thing. It comes from this earth. He says it's not from above. Okay, and in uses another adjective there. He says it's sensual. Now this is not sexual kind of thing, but it comes from the same word that we get psyche or psycho, it's talking about the way that we think, and it's natural, the natural man, as opposed to supernatural. Okay, just your average guy on the street, way he's thinking, as opposed to godly wisdom and supernatural, that the Lord might help us. He also talks that it's devilish, and this is the only time this word is used in Scripture, and it's kind of transliterated from the word demonic. Okay, so it's not from above. Well, what does that leave left? It's from the devil, and this earthly wisdom has its source in Satan, and he uses that to bring about rebellion and other such things. Eve was one that bought into that, accepted that devilish wisdom in the garden. Satan tempted her. She ignored God and did whatever she thought was right. Well, more often than not, that didn't work out too well. But if a person refuses to seek God's wisdom and just act independently, they're going to do their own thing, okay? And they assess the situation, and they give you their 2 cents worth, their advice. He says they're doing it without the benefit of God and his word. And the devil uses this. He uses it to persuade people to give advice. Again, just the natural man responding to this. Solomon called such a person a fool. And doesn't mean he doesn't know anything. They may have wisdom in other areas, but they dismiss God's wisdom. They really don't care what God says or what his word says. They just, plow ahead on their own. And a couple of verses. I was, if you want to look that up sometime, I looked up fool in Proverbs because I figured it was somewhere in there. There 78 times the fool is used in Proverbs, so he's got a lot to say about it. But he says try to get there here in a minute. Okay, Proverbs, and so there's a lot of more verses than what I'm going to share, but he says in Proverbs 1, verse 7, he says, "Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Okay, they don't really care what God says. They're going to do their own thing. He also says, another one I picked out was there in Proverbs 12, in verse 15, says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Okay, So the fool's going to do whatever he thinks best. And he doesn't want any advice. He doesn't want any input from anybody else. And you've run across people like that. You probably maybe tried to give them some insight on something, and they don't want to hear about it. You know, they've made up their mind. They're going to do it their way. And so this earthly wisdom, if we can try to keep this straight, and I went over numerous times to get it straight in my own head, but earthly wisdom has the devil as its source. And he wants to push ahead with alternatives other than seeking God, you know. And we see this in so many different areas of life today. You know, we're taking God out, you know, school. We want to take it out of everything else. Well, we're going to get the kind of results that we're looking for. Well, another area that we're going to look at here today is actually not in James. He focuses on what Paul has to say about this. And if you have your Bibles there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, yeah, it's kind of an extended passage. We're not going to read all of it, but he says in 1 Corinthians 1, 17 to 21, he says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For after that, in wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And then also in verse 25, he says, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Okay. So not that God has a weak moment, okay, brain fog or whatever you want to call it. he says the least that God knows is more than man will ever know, okay? And we need to keep that in mind. So as we kind of pull in this idea of worldly wisdom, it's from the world, it's from the world system. And Paul, when he went to Corinth, he realized the background of these people. They were underneath the teaching and influence of all these philosophers and everything else of that day. And that was worldly wisdom. That was the world of that day. And Paul says, I'm not coming to you sharing that sort of thing, okay? The kind of wisdom that I'm coming from is going to be godly wisdom. But he says, you guys have been kind of trained and grew up believing the system, the world system. And he says it's inferior wisdom, okay? Mentions the difference between earthly wisdom and worldly wisdom is the source. The earthly wisdom, the source, is that of the devil or Satan. And the world wisdom is from the world system that we just kind of grow up in. And the world wisdom is the result of instruction. You know, we go to school, you know, for 12 years or 16 or whatever it is, and we're taught. And not everything that we are taught is necessarily good for us. You hear about some of the, you know, young people that go off to college, and after listening to their professors for several months or years, they're kind of iffy on God, because their professors, who are supposed to be really smart people, are telling them that, yeah, it's a bunch of baloney, you know, don't believe that. And and this is all over. I read somewhere here the other day, it was talking about China, So it's against the law for youth in China to be in church up till they're age 18. They want to indoctrinate them themselves up to that point and hope that they will be, you know, kind of nothing, or at least go along with the Chinese way of thinking. And so it results from instruction. And it's the wisdom of this world. And you can't compare that with the wisdom that God has. He says the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And so again, it's a world system comes from the instruction that we receive throughout our lifetime. Okay, we've got a whole lot of that input. Okay, one more here. Kind of, again, these are kind of along the same lines, but there are differences. And that's human wisdom. And we see this actually in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 here in a minute. Well, let's look. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And then he says, verse 13, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And so this idea of human wisdom or man's wisdom, that's the adjective that he uses for that type of wisdom is man. And the idea that human wisdom comes from within the person. I mean, we all have a brain, we have the ability to think, and so it kind of comes from within. But the problem with the unsaved man, what kind of nature do they have? Fallen nature, a sin nature, okay? So that's the best that they're going to get is from a fallen or sin nature. And this individual may not have experienced any satanic influence, but he feels capable within himself to explain life and complexities and solutions to problems. You know, you've probably come across people like that. I remember years ago, I was out knocking on doors and ended up knocking on the door of a doctor. And, you know, he says, "I'm a scientist." Why did a guy across the street tell me the same thing? "I'm a scientist. You have to prove this stuff to me," you know. And they weren't into accepting anything by faith. You know, you got to prove it to me. Well, as we see there, let's look in verse 4 and 5. He says, "In my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." Okay, so he's not trying to battle wits with the philosophers of his day, the Greek philosophers, those that were there in Corinth, and enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. "And your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And so this human wisdom is what comes from within. It comes from their sin nature. And there's kind of a tie between the three of these as you try to bring them together, whether it's human wisdom that derives from just knowledge from within us. You know, everybody's got an opinion about something. You know, it's kind of, what do they say? Opinions are like noses. Everybody has one, you know, but some are better than others. But worldly wisdom, and we see here that they're influenced by the things that they've been taught, and earthly wisdom that comes into the how they perceive things, what kind of a response they're going to have. And, you know, God's designed us to learn, to grow, to use our brains, to use the resources that are available to us. But these three wisdoms have chosen not to use the resource of God. That's not what they're going to use. They're not interested in what God has to say about the situation or the problem. they're going to rely on their own wisdom, okay, without the benefit of God's wisdom and insight. And I don't know exactly where it fits in here, but I was thinking about that. And most of you guys are old enough to remember. Remember Dr. Spock? People smile when they say that, yeah. But, you know, if little Johnny, we don't want to repress this kid. He's got to learn to express himself. If he wants to swing from the chandeliers, don't tell him no. Just let him go. You know, he's, well, then as he got older, there was a bit of a retraction. He decided maybe that wasn't such a good idea. Probably when his kids got to be teenagers and they were out of control, he decided maybe that wasn't such a good idea. But, you know, people come up with all kinds of weird ideas. And we're, I mean, just about time you think that, you know, we've run into as about as weird stuff as we're going to get, right? Gender fluidity. You know, transgender, mutilating kids, you know, 5-6 years old, we're going to start pumping them full of drugs and send them to the other bathroom and, you know, just all kinds of weird stuff. You know, I mean, if somebody brought that up, I don't know, 20 years ago, we'd say, you lost your mind. That'll never happen. Yeah, well, who knows what's going to happen in the next 15, 20 years, okay? But again, they're not looking to what God has to say. You know, God would have set them straight on a lot of that stuff. You know, they're in Romans 1, but they don't want to look there, you know, because, well, you just don't understand. Yeah. So, all right. So let's look at biblical wisdom. Let's go back to James. And we see in James 3, verse 17. He says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Well, that sounds like a pretty good selection to make, isn't it? You know, if there are choices, what wisdom we're going to rely on, that sounds like a winner. Okay, so let's look at that a little closer here. And he says the consequences of these other kinds of wisdom fall short of what the wisdom from above is going to give us. And so he instructs the readers that, again, God's wisdom is better than worldly wisdom, better than earthly wisdom, better than human's wisdom. And so he wants them to be influenced by God's wisdom and not man-centered wisdom. The thing is, we're surrounded by man's wisdom. You know, it's we're inundated by it. Biblical, though, or godly wisdom, it's available to anyone. Now, we find there back in James 1, it kind of focuses in that primarily on adversity. But I believe God's going to give us wisdom in many other areas too, where he says there in James 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, and folks, I don't know about you, but I come up short in that every once in a while. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. Okay, he's going to give it generously. He's not going to make fun of you for asking. He says, and it shall be given him. And so it's going to help us to understand adversity when it comes, but there are other things that we need to understand as well. And then too, as we have the opportunity to maybe counsel other people, it may not be anything formal, but you know, once in a while people ask, what do you think? Well, then you have the opportunity to share something, but rather than just using these other three kinds of wisdom, seek to bring it from a godly point of view and influence them that way. Because chances are, unless they're asking other Christians, they're not getting good advice. They're just getting whatever the world is able to give them, okay? And so the individual that knows the Word of God, and there again, we have to read it, study it, in order to, you know, think, well, I know it's in there somewhere, okay? But we want to share that with them. Again, we admit that we don't have all the answers in and of ourselves. We're inadequate in that by ourselves, but with the Lord's help, we can rise above just what man's able to come up with and bring in God's perspective. Here's what God has to say. Again, like I said, God may be telling us something that we don't want to hear, like love your neighbor, or especially if they're giving you a bad time, or love your enemies, or something like that. To be kind to those that are being mean to you. No, that's not how naturally we're maybe wanting to respond. But God says, you're going to have better results if you follow my directions than just what man comes up with, okay? And, okay, so he says, again, biblical wisdom, the source is God. Okay, it's not from the devil, it's not from the world, it's not just from within us, but it's our sources from the Lord. And the thing is, he's always going to tell it to us straight. God hasn't had to go in and revise that. You know, I used to think this way, but, you know, after a, you know, a couple thousand years, I've decided, yeah, we ought to change a few things. No, he's he's not doing it. He told us straight the first time. And again, though, it's spiritually discerned. And that's why, in many cases, if you're talking to an unsaved person, it doesn't make any sense to them. Why would I want to do that? That doesn't make any sense, you know. Well, it's coming from God, you know, and you aren't spiritually able to discern that, but we're giving it to you straight. And again, if you do that, you share it from God's word. If they got an argument, now they may want to argue with you, but really their argument is with God and God's word, not with you, okay? And you might want to point that out to them. You know, if you don't like it, well, talk to God about it, okay? Okay, so the consequences of this type, these various kinds of wisdom. Let's go back here. And he says there in verse 14, James 3:14, he says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Then in verse 16 through 18, he says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Okay, so he says, if you're going to try to arbitrate between two people, you're trying to bring a peaceful solution to this. He says, you need to be aligning on God's word. His is the one, like in verse 17. Those are some good results from it. You're not going to get those kinds of result using these other three kinds of wisdom. he says there in earthly wisdom, there in verse 14 and 16, not such good results. Bitter envying, strife, that, I don't know, is anybody signing up for that? We want that as a result of this. I mean, we probably had that to start with, so it's not going to help us out any. Verse 16, envying, strife, confusion, every evil work. Okay, that's kind of the best that we can expect from those kinds, using those kinds of wisdom. And you look at the desired end, okay? If we're trying to bring about peace, then we have to share wisdom that's going to bring about that. And earthly wisdom, again, driven by Satan, and we find often this is a kind of a thirst for power, thirst for control, and they use their position of influence to get their opinions, their counsel. They're kind of driving home the point. Again, one of the results of earthly wisdom is strife. Again, because we're working with our sin nature. It's not going to have good results from it. And again, Satan's trying to accomplish his objectives. And he's going to use various means, you know, to accomplish that, whether it's pride, disruption, division. You know, that's kind of how he works. Sounds like what kind of goes on in our country, doesn't it? Okay. confusion, every evil work. Confusion has the idea of instability. People are exercising their wisdom. And they're just doing it in self-confidence. They believe this, okay? Well, can you believe wrong? I mean, the one I go back to is even before me, okay? But there were a lot of people, you know, Christopher Columbus Day or whatever, believed that the world was flat, you know? And if you went too far, you'd go off the edge and you're done, okay? They sincerely believed that, but they were wrong, okay? And so it's not just how strongly you believe, but, you know, are you believing the right thing? And so you can actually make things worse, make the situation worse than better if you end up with strife and every evil work, envying, so on. This every evil work, as the talking about the worthlessness of this kind of counsel. All right, it's not moral wickedness, that sort of thing, but it's just worthless. They are disoriented. They're unstable. They're not going to be able to accomplish anything that has any lasting results. And so if you're going to rely on earthly wisdom, it's very likely that when you're done, instead of bringing about peace, you're going to have envying and strife in the relationships. Okay, so then we look at worldly wisdom. And this is, again, back in 1 Corinthians 1. But Paul was trying to, again, teach the Corinthians godly wisdom. And but he says worldly wisdom brings about pride and arrogance. Again, you probably know people that, you know, maybe you don't have to ask them this, but they kind of consider themselves the smartest guy in the room. You know, they got an answer for everything. May not be the right answer, but they got the opinion again, okay? And again, their solutions are not lasting solutions. Might be a temporary fix, but again, the end result is they feel good about whatever they happen to have shared, and they take kind of pride in that they know more than other people, okay? Human wisdom, distinct from other types here, but again, they lack insight in proper counsel. They're using human wisdom in manipulating people. They're trying to control the situation. They're trying to control the teaching. And Paul says, I'm not using enticing words. He's not up there spewing all kinds of information or whatever that's going to draw people in to gain a following. You know, when you stop and think about it, does that make your, what do I want to say? Okay. Do people think more of you when you try to share with them that God says that we're all sinners? Is that what anybody wants to hear about? But they have to begin at some point, know that before they're going to find a look for a solution and that of the Lord Jesus Christ. But yeah, so we're not using enticing words, persuasive words, try to influence people to believe our particular teaching. And so, again, they use deception. And I think some of that is from our politicians, you know, make all kinds of promises, you know, and then when they get in there, you start looking, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? You know, oh, well, you know, that got me elected, you know, but it deceptive messages. And again, I was thinking about kind of what we see, and I already mentioned that, but the teaching that they're, you know, Johnny has two mommies or two daddies or whatever. The kids is with the gender stuff, not just them, but adults. How much teaching influence was put on these people that, when was it? Was it last summer or summer before? With the BLM, you know, groups, and they're setting on fire cities and busting up stuff. Or critical race theory, you know, somebody's indoctrinating them with that sort of influence, you know, getting them to hate somebody else because of a different color of skin, you know. Yeah, so it's out there, okay? But we have to resist it and look at, what does the scripture say about this sort of thing? Well, again, biblical wisdom, we see the results of that, as we've read here a couple times. Verse 17 and 18, good results. The adjectives that he used to describe biblical wisdom are good ones. And it's the outgrowth of our Christian life, our spirit-controlled life in our relationships. It's going to help us. But again, we have to put it to use. Just because we're a Christian doesn't automatically mean that we're going to have peaceful relationships with everybody. Because if we don't exercise biblical truth, you know, we're not going to get good biblical results from it. You know, you know how that works. I know what the Bible says, but, you know, I don't want to do that. You know, I got a better idea. And that better idea is going to be back to one of these other three different kinds of wisdom. And so we have to look to God's word, look to the direction that he wants us to go, and try to direct it. Doesn't mean everybody else is going to take your counsel or your advice, okay? They may just write you off, that's not what I want to do, because they've already made up their mind what they're going to do, or and without saying too much more than that, there was one situation where there was a lot of other people that give this person one kind of counsel, and I said, no, that's not right. It's not what the Bible says. Well, they went with the majority. But, you know, the majority is not always right. Because, again, we might be relying on these earthly wisdom. Well, that makes sense to us. Well, yeah, but is it right? You know, and so the benefits of biblical wisdom, he says, are the fruits of righteousness. We can expect some good results if we continue to look to God's word for wisdom and direction in our own life, but then as we have opportunity to share in others. And so we have to, you know, this isn't something you can do in 30 seconds, but to stop and think about, you know, what are the sources of the wisdom that I share? What I think about, you know, am I honestly following biblical wisdom? Am I offering biblical wisdom to other people? Or is it just whatever I feel at the moment is the right thing to do? You know, because we can be relying on the wrong kind of wisdom. And again, we've been inundated with that. It's come at us for a lot of years. We've been surrounded by it. And but it doesn't mean it's necessarily right, okay? And so how are we going to gain more biblical wisdom? Yeah, it won't work just putting it under your pillow. Probably just give you a kink in the neck, all right? But yeah, we got to get into it, know what it says. And again, you know, some of the stuff that Paul was sharing was probably rubbing the fur the wrong way. You know, these philosophers are telling them all kinds of stuff, and here comes Paul, and he's he's telling him something totally different than that. You know, it probably didn't go over real big. But the thing is, you know, God promises to honor his word, you know. And so we need to share the truth. Doesn't mean everybody's going to accept it with open arms, but you share it, and the Holy Spirit can take it and kind of drive it into the old memory bank to soften people up, help them be more receptive, saying, well, I've tried this, this, and this, and it didn't work out too good. Maybe I should try God's way, all right? And again, it may, may run cross-grain to what we've thought up to that point, but God will never steer us wrong, okay? And we can be thankful for that. Sorry, listen to all that. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day you've given us. We thank you for helping us to see these various kinds of wisdom. Maybe we weren't even thinking along those lines. You know, God's given us a brain. He's going to help us think through things. But what is the source from which our wisdom is coming from? Maybe we're looking at the wrong source. And maybe we've been doing it for a long time. But we need to get back to seeking to understand biblical truths and seek to share that with people rather than just our own opinion about something. And we'll thank you for the way that you'll help us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you.
Thank you.